All right. I think it must be my turn. Thanks for joining us today. If you don't have a Bible close by, now's your chance to get your Bible, another cup of coffee or handful of pretzels or whatever you're having at 11:30 on a Sunday morning if you're watching this live. And we are compliant with what the city and our authorities have told us to do. So I'm looking at a completely empty auditorium this morning. We came to do this live. We wanted to broadcast this live if we could. So there's three or four other people in the building that are maintaining sound and getting this out there, but that's all there is. So it's a little different. There's no feedback. And bottle of hand sanitizer down there is just staring at me, but nobody else. And so anyway, it is a different and unprecedented time, but I'm thankful that we're able to join with you by live streaming today. Turn to the short Old Testament book of the prophet Habakkuk. It's only 56 verses in the whole. It's made up of three chapters, 56 verses. If you don't know where it is, go to the end of the Old Testament. If you can find the Gospel of Matthew, then just go backwards a few pages. It'll be right there, staring at you, right after Nahum there. So while you're looking at it, to join with what everybody else has said, we love you, we miss you, we miss seeing all of you. It was just different, kind of watching the worship and the choir. I enjoyed it as I was just pacing back and forth praying in here by myself. We appreciate all the creative ways that people are endeavoring to stay in touch. We are the family of God. That's what the Bible tells us. And so I encourage you to keep looking out for each other, caring for one another. As Sarah just reminded us, keep praying at 7 o'clock, and please be safe. If you're not part of an essential business, if you don't have to be out for some emergency reason or whatever, you are indeed safer at home, and you're keeping other people safe at home. So I want you to know, I take that to heart. Paula and I have been home this week. I only had to get out just one time, but from Sunday to Sunday, we've been staying at home. And again, there's only three or four other people in the building here today. So we're making every effort to just keep everyone safe. That's what this is about. And I know we think, well, I'm fine, I feel fine, but there's just too much we don't know. So I encourage you, if you can, or if you're over 65, like some of us or whatever, getting to be, do your very best to stay safe at home and keep your family and others in the city safe. Thanks for making the effort to find us on live stream or on Facebook or Instagram. Keep watching, as the other pastors have shared. They're on throughout the week with youth and children and new community, homecoming, and Sunday school. So thanks for making the effort to do that, making the effort to give, and for making this extra effort to stay connected. Again, if you need us, you can call the office number during the week, during office hours. It will be answered. You can call our homes. You can call the emergency number. If there's an emergency, one of the pastors will answer that, or will return your call. And again, our home numbers are out there. Call us at home. We want to know if there's something we can pray with you about. We want to do our best to stay connected. It is a challenging time. It's an unsettling time because things keep changing by the hour, by the day, and none of us can accurately predict or forecast the future. After the tornado in 1999 that destroyed our facility here, our motto became, change is here to stay. And I would say that's the case once again. Things have changed. Things will continue to change, but we're not left without hope. And that's what I found as I searched the scripture for some answers and direction for this message, that we're not without hope. And that search led me to the little book of Habakkuk. What now? And so what do we do now? And I just felt the Lord kind of speaking to my heart from this Old Testament prophet. He was a Hebrew prophet. Habakkuk was perhaps a different kind of prophet. We know nothing about him. We don't have any reference to who his father or mother were, just nothing. We don't really have an indication, even from the book of Habakkuk, that he went out telling everyone what God was saying to him. Maybe he wasn't preaching. It seems to be a conversation that he recorded between God and himself concerning the southern kingdom of Judah and their future. So Habakkuk was writing this around 600 BCE, about 600. The northern, remember the kingdoms had been divided, the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. And so the northern kingdom of Israel had been destroyed about 100 years or so before this time by the Assyrians. And now the kingdom of Judah is facing a new enemy, the Babylonians. And Habakkuk is seeing signs of coming judgment. If you watched Pastor Brian this morning at Sunday school, he's teaching out of Daniel. And Daniel is happening some years after this, when that southern kingdom of Judah had been captured, Jerusalem was destroyed, and was carried off into exile into Babylon. So Daniel comes after Habakkuk. Habakkuk is warning them about what's about to happen. So he sees the signs of this coming judgment, and the people of Judah are engaged in sinful lifestyles. They're ignoring God. The Babylonians are gaining strength now. They're taking new territories. They're heading south, and within a few years, they're going to come down, siege Jerusalem, destroy it, and carry the people of Judah off into exile into Babylon. So Habakkuk sees the sin, sees the threat of this invasion, and he begins asking questions. So he says, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you don't listen?" At least it feels that way to him. "Or I cry out to you violence, but you do not save." So Habakkuk is asking the kind of questions we want to ask anytime bad things happen to good people like all of us. How can God let this happen? I mean, how long, Lord, how long are you going to let the bad guys win? And Habakkuk was facing an invasion of soldiers. We're facing an invasion by a virus. And innocent lives are going to be lost, or they felt like innocent lives in Judah. And innocent lives are lost here today. And we ask, how long, Lord? How long are you going to let this invasion happen? How long are you going to let a pandemic spread? Why haven't you done something to stop all this? Why, Lord, why? And how long? We always want to focus on the why question, don't we? Why? Why is this happening? And it seems throughout Scripture, God chooses not to answer those questions. I've often said, why is the wrong question to ask? We probably need to ask what. Job asked when his world fell apart. His friends offered all kinds of theories as to why Job was facing his problems in that Old Testament book, but God chose not to answer the why question. He taught Job in the process to trust God, and God's answer to Job was not the answer to why, but God's answer was presence. He was present with Job. He revealed himself to Job. The answer we need is not maybe the why, but we need God's presence. Jesus refused to answer as well when the disciples asked those kind of questions. What was the reason? Why is this guy born blind? Who sinned that this man was born blind? What's the source of this trouble? Whose fault is it? Who's to blame? We want to know. And we're always looking backward to find the cause and ask why. The Bible always seems to be looking forward towards asking what. What lessons can we learn? What good can come from this? Where and how is God acting redemptively in all this? What should we do now? That was the question that Habakkuk answered in part for me. What now? So let me share some lessons I learned for this present crisis from a Hebrew prophet this week. And the first lesson, as I was praying about this, the first lesson for us is to silence yourself. We want to know, what does all this mean? What's going to happen? How long is this pandemic and all the shutdown going to last? How many are going to be sick? How many are going to land in the hospital? How many are going to die? How are we going to recover? How long will the recovery last, or will we recover economically and financially? Is this a sign from God? Is this God's judgment? And I'm asking all these questions. And every pundit and blogger has an opinion, a theory, a conspiracy out there. And there's plenty of preachers telling you what they think it means as well. Here's where we are in biblical prophecy. This is Revelation whatever, and this is all those explanations. And I get that. I really do. And I have to admit, at least those of my generation, for sure, it makes us recognize the credibility of the biblical account regarding end time scenarios and the coming of the Lord. For those of us, I mean, I grew up, you know, with John Hall and his big prophecy chart and those kind of deals. And so, you know, we'd think, well, how could something happen that millions of people would die or whatever, or that the economy could, you know, crash and all that kind of stuff. And then suddenly we see something like this and all of us are going, oh, so that's how this could happen. yikes. You know, this is, yeah, wow. So this is what a plague would look like. This is how something could sweep across the earth. This is how millions of people could be affected worldwide. So we kind of get that it brings some credibility to all this, but here's what I think we need to do. And this is what I sense the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart from this old Hebrew prophet. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20, he says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him." And for a moment, we just need to be silent before the Lord. Maybe stop asking all the questions and just silence yourself. And think about it. The world has, in some sense, been silenced by the pandemic. I know some of you, if you're in healthcare, it's not silent. You're suddenly on high alert and you're working harder than all the rest of us. But for many of us, personal activity has suddenly slowed to a halt or stopped. Airplanes aren't flying much. I saw on this morning a pilot who shall remain nameless, but a commercial pilot said, "I probably only carried 100 people this week." Nobody's flying. There's no ball games, no dance recitals, no end of school activities, no NBA, no MLB, no Olympic Games, no Indy 500, no Kentucky Derby. Businesses are shut down. I mean, people are home, sheltered in place. With all of this, with everything that's going on, there's no place for you to go. There's no place to travel. With all of this, silence yourself. Take a moment to just kind of silence your heart before the Lord. And in that silence, recognize a couple of things. Silence your heart and mind before the Lord and recognize how vulnerable and fragile we are. Because all of us do this. We rush through life thinking, man, I don't have to worry. I'm young and I'm healthy. I was once young and healthy. But we rush through life thinking how strong and powerful we are. We're indestructible. We're invincible. We can do this. And then, you know, we're big, strong people. And then a tiny microscopic virus that we can't even see has the ability to inflame our lungs to the point that we die. And it has the power to paralyze the world's economy and bring us to our knees. And all of a sudden we recognize we're not as powerful and strong as we thought. Silence yourself and recognize our utter dependence on the Lord. The Apostle Paul, one time preaching to a group in Athens, if I remember, he quoted one of their scholars or philosophers who had said, "In him we live and move and have our being." Folks, we're not even breathing without him. We need him. We need him. We recognize we are dependent on the Lord. Silence yourself and recognize for a moment how connected we are. That even though we're practicing physical social distancing, this pandemic does remind us that we're all alike. We're all connected by our humanity. And we can look at all the differences, but the poorest and the richest, and the Christian and the Muslim and the Jew and the Buddhist and the Hindu and the animist and the non-believer, we're all just people on this planet, God's creation, but we're all just people hurling through space on this round ball, and we are dependent upon each other and dependent upon God's mercy, whether we recognize it or believe it or not. And all of us are susceptible to this virus, and it kind of reminds us that we're all susceptible to death. We're all going to die someday. So I don't want to think about that. I know we don't. We just rush on through life not thinking about death or not thinking about eternity, and then suddenly it's there and a virus comes, an unseen invasion, an enemy, and now we have to stop and think about it. That's okay. Be silent and think about it. Yeah, what's next? What's next in the fear of this? Allow it to bring us to silence and then to prayer and to turn to the Lord. But a little humility is a good thing for us. We see ourselves as we are. We need him. We're needier than we imagined. Silence yourself, and in the silence and the solitude, become aware of God's presence. We're shut in with God. It's what we are. And that's what happened for Job, and that's what happened for Habakkuk. The silence led to an awareness of God's presence. So in that verse, the prophet says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him." The Lord is where? He's referring to the temple in Jerusalem. He's reminding, these are the people, Jerusalem is in Judah. He's reminding the people, God's in his holy temple, so let's just step back and be silent for a minute. The Lord's not far off somewhere, you know, watching from heaven, from a distance, disconnected from us. He's here in this moment, not in a temple in Jerusalem that would be destroyed there, but in this temple, perhaps. Right? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. His name is Emmanuel, the scripture says. God with us. He is here with us. So still your heart and your mind and become aware of his presence. Silence everything for a moment. All the other voices and all the other newscast and all the fear and all that. And recognize that the Lord is with us. He said he'd never leave us, never forsake us, that his spirit would live within us. Don't try to figure out all the whys and the whens. Just take a moment to recognize him and his presence and his power and his glory, because the reality is he is indeed everything we need. Habakkuk says of the Lord in chapter 3, his glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. It was like he holds the sun in his hand and then he just lets the rays flash out of there. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble with his glance. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. Now, we read that. Don't try to figure out who or what's to blame. Wait, it says plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. Are you saying that he brought all this and what's going on? No. Just calm. Wait. Silence yourself for a minute. Just stop and consider what the prophet is saying about the vastness and the might and the sovereignty and the authority and the power of our God, that he's like no other, that he shakes the earth, the nations tremble. So we stop and silence our heart before him. Get that in your heart and in your mind of who he is and how other he is, how transcendent, how awesome, how great, how powerful he is. Get that in your mind in that silence before you tackle anything else. And then here's the second lesson from the prophet. We station ourselves. Station yourself. What do you mean? Now that you've silenced your heart before the Lord and recognized his magnitude and his power and the fact that we are dependent upon him, station yourself, position yourself, put yourself in a place where you can see and hear what God wants to say and what he wants to do. So the prophet says at the beginning of chapter 2, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts, and I'll look to see what he will say to me and what answer I'm to give to this complaint. The prophet's talking about being on the walls of Jerusalem, the ramparts, waiting to hear from God. There's a lot of ups and downs with that. I've walked the ramparts of Jerusalem. You probably shouldn't climb up on your roof. Don't do anything that dramatic to station yourself to hear from God. But spiritually speaking, mentally and emotionally, get in a position to hear from the Lord. Well, how do I do that? Well, through silence, through solitude, through worship and prayer, through reading and studying the Bible, meditating on him. And I know some of you are saying, hello, where have you been? I got 4 children under the age of 7 that are in my house. There hadn't been a silent moment except, yeah. Then find that exception. Find that moment when it's a beautiful day. Send them all outside. Tell them, if they're school age, tell them, here's your assignment. Find the bugs outside. Build a bug collection. And you center your heart and silence your heart and station yourself to hear from God. Worship. Meditate on his word. Pray. Just listen for a minute. In the book of Revelation, John, the apostle John, was in quarantine. He was safer at home. So he was exiled on this tiny little island of Patmos out in the Aegean Sea alone. And I believe he did what I'm talking about. He silenced his heart and positioned himself. And he said it this way, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. And I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. And he turned around in the Spirit, and he saw the Lord standing before him. And it was at that time that Jesus gave the message to the churches that we studied last fall. The message to John concerning the end of things. And he said it was the revelation of Jesus to him. Position yourself. Silence all the other voices and position yourself and get in the Spirit like John did on Patmos, worshiping and listening and waiting on the Lord, and be ready to hear from the Lord, and I believe we'll get a revelation of Jesus. I was spending time this week just kind of asking, Lord, show me something and tell me something and why and what's all this about, and that's when I realized, look, I need to silence myself before the Lord. I needed to gain some perspective about life and who's in charge. I needed to remember God's sovereignty in and over my life and in this universe, that He's the one that His glory covers the heavens and His praise fills the earth, the one who shakes out the earth and causes the nations to tremble. I need to remember that. Remember who He is, that He's over my life and over this universe, and He is sovereign over all that's going on. And when I did that, then I can position myself to listen and to look and to wait and see what it is that God wants us to see and wants us to know. And after Habakkuk quieted his heart and got in a position to hear, then the Lord spoke to him. And it says, then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. If your name's Harold, you're the guy this morning. So that a herald, meaning somebody that goes to announce to bring the message, so that a herald may run with it. He's announcing, we've heard from the Lord. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. And though it linger, wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. For it will certainly come and will not delay. Now we understand the prophet was speaking about events that were going to happen in a few years from when he wrote this down in 586 BCE. But I understand too that the Spirit of the Lord can take this word and speak it to our hearts to give us a principle and to give us hope and direction in 2020 in the face of our own crisis. That there is a time for silence and waiting, but there is a time when God says, here's what I need you to know. And here's what I need you to do. So let me ask you this morning, what's God saying to you in all this? Is He saying anything yet? Maybe you haven't been silent to listen. Silence yourself. Position yourself. Find a moment. What's God saying in all this? What's He saying to me personally as an individual? What's He saying if you're a family, if you're in a family? What's He saying to our family? What lessons are we learning? Position yourself to listen and to hear. Because the time will come, he's going to make some things plain to you, I believe that. And we will and you will emerge from this pandemic and from this crisis, and God is going to lead you and show you a new way to live and to act and to walk in whatever the new normal is going to be for a while. You see, we're all being shaped and changed by this. Every big event in our lives, we've been molded and shaped by it. And so what shaping is this going to do? We need to allow Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to help inform and mold and help us to then be shaped by not just the circumstances or the crisis event, but a redemptive act in this, that God shapes us and says, now here's what I want you to see and here's what I want you to do. I'm believing that we're going to be changed for the better by this. So what's He saying? What's He telling us? It may be a new idea for business that God may show you if after all this a job change comes or you've lost a job. It may be a new direction as God shows you how to recover and how to rebuild and how to re-emerge from this crisis. It may be new insights about how you're going to order the priorities of your life for yourself or for your family going forward. There are lessons that we all learn as we look to the Lord. There is a refining that's going on. So, and again, let me add this. While business doors perhaps are closing right now, doors of opportunity for the gospel are opening like never before. And the gospel is being preached as the church moves beyond our walls and doors and looks for creative ways to minister. And a time of pandemic and crisis can be the church's finest hour as we meet needs and as we are the church outside of these walls and we share the gospel and we serve others. God help us to be like the tribe of Issachar. In the Old Testament, the Bible says that the men of Issachar discerned the times and knew what to do. God, let's position ourselves that we can hear from You, that we can hear from the Lord, and we'll listen and we'll know what to do. God told the prophet to wait for it. Don't panic if it takes a little longer than you expected, but keep listening and watching and waiting on God, because He will speak when the time is right, and you'll know what to do. God said the revelation awaits an appointed time, but it will happen. It'll come to pass at just the right time. Silence yourself. Station yourself. And then in the meantime, live in faith. So Habakkuk says what the New Testament echoes for us, but the righteous will live by his faith. We're people of faith. We've placed our faith and our trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord and the giver of eternal life. And trust me, my faith, our faith, needs to be in Jesus, not in the government's response to COVID-19. It's not faith in an economic recovery. It's not faith in the Federal Reserve. It's not faith in that check that I hope many will receive. It's not even faith in the scientists and doctors that are working bravely and courageously to find a cure for this virus. And let's pray for them. God help them and grant them wisdom and discernment and insight to find solutions and answers to all this. And again, our prayers are with them. But our faith remains in the Lord, the God of heaven and earth. I've already quoted from Habakkuk 3 that he's the one who stands above and beyond the earth and that his ways are eternal, and we walk by faith and not by sight. Our faith is in him. Keep looking to him. Let your faith arise in your heart, knowing that you can rely on him. Habakkuk said, Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. I've got faith in Jesus. And we can say, Lord, I've heard of your fame, and I stand in awe of your deeds. I've heard of those things. I've heard what you can do in a time of trouble. I've read about your faithfulness. I've seen it in my own life and in our church life over and over again. And these are not just the works of old. These are God's works for today in the midst of another health and economic crisis worldwide. And in faith, we say with the prophet, renew them in our day. Oh God, come and renew your awesome deeds in our day. Sicknesses come, but God, let it be a sign of the miracle-working, healing power of Jesus. Let the kingdom come, Lord. Move among us in our time. Make your miraculous deeds known again. In this time of trouble, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Show us your mercy. Show us your power. Show us your strong hand of deliverance. Let your fame be spread around the world that God is the deliverer of all who trust in him. He shows mercy to those who call upon him. And Habakkuk spoke of woe to those who have put their faith in what they can do with their own hands, faith just in their own cunning or their own ingenuity or their own ability. So in chapter 2, verse 6, he says, woe to him who piles up stolen goods. I think he would have been saying, woe to those who stockpile their toilet paper. Woe to those who pile up stolen goods and makes himself wealthy by extortion. In other words, woe to those who rely on their riches and wealth instead of relying on the Lord. Woe to him, verse 9, who builds his realm by unjust gain, who sets his nest on high, he says, to escape the clutches of ruin. In other words, woe to those who think they can outsmart God or can hide their sin or their ill-gotten gain high enough that God or disaster that comes won't reach them. In verse 13, chapter 2, he says, the people's labor is only fuel for the fire. The nations exhaust themselves for nothing. In other words, if our faith is only in ourselves and what we can produce, well, a good pandemic or a bad pandemic will make you think again, because it can all be gone in a moment. And our pride in ourself and our money and our job and our company, friends, it's not enough. It's what we've done, and God bless what we've done. He does often, but it's not enough. The prophet goes to speak of idols in verse 18. Of what value is an idol since a man has carved it, or an image that teaches lies? For he who makes it trusts in his own creation. He makes idols that cannot speak. In verse 19, he says, woe to him who says to wood, come to life, or to lifeless stone, wake up. Can it give us guidance? Can it give guidance? He says, no, it's covered with gold and silver, and there's no breath in it. Can you take what you've made and make it come to life and give you guidance about what to do in the midst of a crisis? No. If we put our trust and our faith in all the stuff or in money or in a rising economy, maybe that was part of America's problem. We don't need God because the economy's doing great and unemployment is at its lowest ever, and man, we are making progress, aren't we? And all of a sudden, none of that can help us now. It reminds us that our faith, church, our faith belongs in Jesus. He alone. He alone is the one we trust in. Put your faith in Him. Live in faith. The writer of Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Look to Him, trust Him, put your faith in Him. Silence yourself, station yourself, live in faith, and then live in hope. Live in hope that someday we're going to come through all this, not just the pandemic and not just the economic trouble we're in as a result, and not just the hardship of isolation and all the losses. No, someday the prophet says, there's a day coming, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Someday all the crisis will be past and all the tears will be forever wiped away by God Himself. Someday all the injustice and inequities of life and all the wrongs will be made right. Someday He'll establish His kingdom and His authority. We'll never know pain or sorrow or parting or death again. Someday it won't just be pockets of blessing, but the prophet says the glory of the Lord and the knowledge and blessing of the Lord will cover the people and the planet. And we live in hope that someday everything will be made new. We appreciated the governor in the prayer service this past week at Transformation Church. God bless all those pastors that were a part of that. Let hope rise in your heart today, they said. But let me tell you, I believe there's a better day coming, and there will be in this nation and in the nations of the world if we set our affection on Jesus. But let me just remind you, if our hope is only in this life, if our hope is only that the doctors are going to find a cure and we're going to have a vaccine and then we're going to be better and then we can get back to business as usual, it won't do any good. Because if you survive COVID-19 and you survive illness and you get your business rebuilt and everything's happy again, but if you don't know Jesus as the Savior and Lord of your life, then someday that won't be enough. Because someday you will die, and you'll stand before God. And the Bible says, if our hope is only in this life, we're of all men most miserable. Our hope is not just in this life. Our hope needs to be in Jesus. If you don't know Him as Savior and Lord of your life, you need to have a faith and a hope to live by, and you need to have a faith and a hope to die by. If I die, man, my hope is in the Lord. I'm going to walk by faith and live by Him. All right. Silence yourself, station yourself, live in faith, live in hope, and one last thing, live in gratitude. The Bible says in the New Testament, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You say, but there's nothing to be thankful for. How can we give thanks with all this trouble going on? Because He's still God. He's still on the throne. He's still worthy of our praise. He's still working in redemptive ways to turn this around. He's the one that causes all things to work together for good. He's not finished yet. The enemy may have meant it for evil, but God will work it for good. He's not finished, and He's still with us. So Habakkuk says, I heard and my heart pounded and my lips quivered at the sound, and decay crept into my bones. My legs trembled. I mean, he was unsettled. He was unnerved. He was frightened at all that he saw, just like we may be as we watch this crisis unfold. Things were shaking all around him. The death count was rising. All those frightening things. But then he writes this, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, and though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, and though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Regardless, the prophet says, I'll rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to find my joy in Him regardless of what's happening outside. The prophet already had charted a course for how he was going to get through the crisis. He was going to live in gratitude towards the Lord. He was going to silence his heart before the Lord. He was going to station himself, position himself to hear from the Lord. He had decided he was going to live by faith and not by sight. Regardless of what happened, he wasn't going to abandon hope because his hope was in the Lord. He knew he could trust Him. And he was going to continue to be grateful in his heart. And what would the outcome of all this be? The prophet tells us, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. The end result is that God's going to bring us through this and strengthen us and enable us to climb to new heights. He'll equip us with what we need. The feet like the feet of a deer. King James says the feet like hinds' feet. We're going to have feet that won't slip so we can get out of this and climb above it. Don't start climbing yet because we need the silence and we need the position. We need to hear from the Lord. Now is the time to do those things. But don't give up hope because there are new heights ahead. And wow, what a view when he lifts us up and leads us above it all. He takes us up to the heights. God has something better in store for you. Let all that's going on hear from the Lord and allow him to direct your steps so that we're changed for the better through all of this. Trust him and let the sovereign Lord be your strength during this time and for all time. The sovereign Lord is my strength, he says, and he enables me to go on to the heights. I want to pray for you this morning. I said it a moment ago, if we're hoping only in this life and in recovery that's going to come, oh, I'm hopeful. I am. I'm hopeful. But my hope is in more than just what happens here in this moment. My hope is in Christ alone. I trust him. Live or die, my hope is in the Lord. And if you don't know Jesus as the Savior and Lord of your life, if you're facing this crisis without that personal relationship with Jesus, I encourage you to open your heart and your life to him today. What do I do? The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. He'll forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In that moment of silence, as you silence your heart, realize, you know what? Yeah, I'm not where I need to be with God. I don't have a relationship with God. I don't know him, but I want to. And God wants to know you. He sent his son so that you could know him, so we could see him. Jesus fleshes out the Father for us. The Bible says God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him wouldn't have to perish but could have everlasting, eternal life. Put your faith in Jesus today. Just tell him, Lord, I confess my sin. I confess that, man, I've been living in arrogance without you and I need you in my life. Jesus, I believe you're God's son, that you died on the cross. You took my place. He bore the penalty for our sin. Jesus, I believe that about you. I believe you rose from the dead. And I believe you're Savior and Lord, and I ask you to be that for me. Save me and come into my heart and into my life. Take away the burden of my sin and give me life today. Just tell him in your own words you need him to be Savior and Lord of your life, and he'll do that. I pray that you'll make that decision today, that you'll open your heart to him. And to the rest, you're listening today, Jesus is Savior and Lord of your life. I just encourage you to take a moment to silence your heart somewhere today. Maybe you can just go outside and take a walk on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. And in the silence of that moment, just tell him, Lord, I'm going to be silent for a while and I want to listen. And I want you to speak to me through all of the stuff that's going on. Help me to hear what you're saying for me, for my family, for my future. Lord, what are you telling me? What are the lessons I need to learn? Well, let's bow our hearts in prayer today. Lord Jesus, I pray for those who've watched today who maybe they need to make that choice, that decision to ask Jesus into their heart and life. And as I've spoken to them today, I pray there was something just quickened in their heart and they make that choice wherever they are just to bow their heart, maybe silencing their own heart, and they just admit, I need Jesus to be the Savior of my life. Lord, I pray for your grace to reach them right where they are as they call upon you. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's a turning away from everything else and self and turning to Jesus and giving our life to you, and you will give us salvation and eternal life. Let them make that choice today. Grant them grace and peace as they make that choice. And Lord, for all of us, I pray you'll help us to silence our hearts and minds and just to be silent before you for a moment, to acknowledge you as God and Lord and sovereign. And then that we would station and position ourselves to be able to hear what you're saying to us individually or as a family or as a church family. And God, grant to us the knowledge and the direction we need for this day and for all that's to come. Strengthen us. Help us as we look to you and as we live in faith and in hope of better things tomorrow, and equip us with what we need to not only survive but to climb to those greater heights. Lord, help us, Lord, to enable us, Lord, to be all that you've called us to be, and help us to remain grateful for your abiding presence and your mercy and your provision and your all-sufficient grace in all of this, Lord. We believe you that you are going to supply every need. Lord, for whoever's watching today, Lord, I pray for your peace to surround them today. I pray for the mercy and grace of God to just wrap around them like that hug that we're not able to give right now. Let the presence of God envelop your people. Lord, remind us that we're not alone. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is with us. And so we'll step back in silence. We'll step back in gratitude, and we'll worship, and we'll honor you, and we'll praise you. Lord, let it be. Let it be for all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, I want to thank you for taking time this morning to join with us. I want to say again, we love you. We miss you. We're praying for you. I know these are difficult days. I know some of you got a house full with your kids and everybody at home. Some of you are watching and you're alone today, and it may be difficult for you, but we want you to know we're thinking of you. We're praying for you. Be good to each other. Check on one another. Make a phone call. Call and check on somebody. I know we've got folk that don't have social media or maybe don't have internet access. If you can give them a phone call, or here's a novel idea, write them a note by hand and put it in the mail. The mail's still being delivered. But just reach out to one another and just let people know that, hey, you're not alone. We're going through this together. Reach out to us if you